my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Whitney Doe and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Let's begin our music with a lovely song, Bring Back the Springtime. I'll pick up my trombone and sing and play it for you.
When in the spring the flowers are blooming bright and fair, after the gray of winter's cold, once again the lark begins its tuning back in the meadows of my home. Lord, to my heart bring back the springtime. Take away the cold and dark of sin. Come and fill me now, sweet Holy Spirit. May I warm and tender be again. The springtime, take away the cold and dark of sin. Come and fill me now, sweet Holy Spirit. May I warm and tender be again. May I warm and be again.
Today's message is entitled, Listening to Your Heart. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything about me. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Amen. Well, the tires on my old green Chevrolet seemed to mush their way through the thick, powdery dust on the surface of Bethel Road. That was the road to our church, Parsonage. Laura, our oldest daughter, who was 5 then, was telling me about a series of events that occurred that day. My mind had drifted in and out of her conversation, and finally she moved over to my side of the seat, and she put her little hands on my cheeks and turned my head toward her face, and she said, Daddy, you're not listening to me. Well, friend, she caught me cold. I was listening, but I wasn't listening. Later, when I had a chance to think through what had taken place, I realized that it was very important to her that I listened and responded to what she was saying. You know, I think there are times for all of us when our listeners just don't seem to realize how important what we're saying to them really is. Sometimes a nod or a shrug of the shoulders just only adds to our feelings of not being heard. Most of us learn early how to screen out a lot of the conversation and sounds. In fact, if we did not do that, we would be bombarded with so much noise that our minds really couldn't stand it. Now this lesson, this scripture lesson, is a picture of a very intense and a very compassionate scene in which Jesus is trying to tell his disciple Peter that he's going to trust the church to grow because of him, because of Peter. Peter was stunned. Remember now, they had been eating breakfast together on the beach. Jesus had prepared it. Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, was not in his presence after the resurrection. Now, I can hardly imagine the emotions that were stirring among those disciples. In my mind, I can see Jesus walking over to Peter, the big fisherman. See, Peter was a lot bigger than Jesus. Jesus reached up and put his arm around Peter, and he looked him right into his sun-worn face, and then squarely into those dark brown Jewish eyes. And then, with a voice tender with concern and a hope for a positive answer, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Friends, I think instantly the crowing of that rooster screamed in Peter's ears. But quietly, Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." His low answer sounded almost like a question. You know I do. "Feed my sheep," Jesus said the second time. And this time, Peter's answer was stronger. And finally, the third time, Jesus asked the big fisherman, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's answer was strong and clear. It was as though the third time was the final cleansing. And now the sound of the rooster crowing was being muted by the deep knowing that Jesus really wanted him to hear what he was saying. "Feed my sheep. And Peter, I'm trusting you now to do it." In the mystery of this occasion, Peter was transformed. Now imagine how he started. Peter had a few handmade fish hooks, some frayed rope, a net that needed repair, part ownership in a wooden boat, and a friend named Jesus who loved him beyond his understanding. Do you remember that on the day of Pentecost, it was this same fisherman who stood before the whole world and with the courage and conviction of the strongest man you can imagine, one that forever changed the course of human history? Peter heard Jesus with his heart, you see. He had opened his life and his mind and his attitude. Judy and I have a friend named Jim. Long ago, we worked together. You know, when others had gone home from the office at night, his lights were still on. Many weeks he worked long hours each day and 7 days a week with no time off. Some of us said to him, "Jim, you know you ought to slow down," but he just worked harder. I asked him to do many things for me and he never refused or complained. We were all so busy and I guess we didn't notice. We never really heard Jim's cry for help. It wasn't, in fact, until we found a trail of suicidal clues that made us really listen with our hearts. Jim just disappeared one afternoon. It wasn't until late at night that we knew something was very wrong. We searched and we prayed for 3 days, and it was very close, maybe as close as a few minutes before he was preparing to take his own life. Dozens of phone calls, an emergency plane trip, and a very sensitive police officer saved his life. We stood together and asked ourselves, why didn't we hear his cries? Maybe we have learned to screen out too many things. Maybe we would do well to stand alongside of Christ once more and let him look into the eyes of our hearts and would ask us, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Well, Jim is back to work in a different city. His work is not the same, and I know the hurt is still there, but he is managing it. He told me it was a quieter place and a slower pace. You know, when I think of his loneliness in the midst of so many people, it is so painful to me. I pray that his life can be reclaimed, and out of that destruction he will grow strong in knowing that the one who loves him, Jesus, as his own child, is there. And I learned a great lesson from Jim, a lesson that I struggle with nearly every day. It's a lesson about listening to others and listening with my heart to God. There's a great move in the church today to grow and to win others to Christ, and that's a tremendous, tremendous thing. There is a call across the world for evangelism, and I'm so glad of that. But I tell you the truth, there needs to be within us, within each of us, a call to not only to proclaim, but a call, maybe even a call, a scream, to listen. My friend, Dr. Joe Harding, said to me several years ago, he said, John, and of course Joe knows as much about church growth as anybody I know. He said, John, the single most important thing that a pastor in a church can do is to listen to what his congregation or her congregation is saying. Joe said, John, they know where the pain is. Our little congregation is growing and bursting at the seams. But in the midst of all that, there is a greater sound. There's the cry of a man with prostate cancer, where the cancer has invaded his bones and there is no hope for his life. There's the cry of a mother who wants to be united with her children, and a couple whose broken marriage has left children so afraid to trust. Well, you know how it is where you live. There's so many people around us that need to be listened to. You know, I've asked myself, what would happen if a local church, if my church, would send its members walking through a community to interview people they meet on the street and just listen to their hearts? Don't sell anything, just listen. I wonder what that would be like if I did that in my own family. My family's busy. Every family I know seems to be on a treadmill, on a race. But what a great thing to remember Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feeding our sheep can mean listening, feeding them with compassion and care and listening and understanding. What a great challenge to us. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Thank you, John. John, we Christians need to cultivate the practice of listening for God's voice, speaking out of His Word, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. In prayer, we spend so much time asking for blessings, but not being still and listening. East Stanley Jones used to go to his listening post every day, asking, Lord, what have you to say to me? And then, John, you made a tremendous point in your message today. We need to be listening to hurting people around us. We cannot win them or help them if we do not listen to them. God listens, so must we. May we hear the cry of the lonely and the suffering. Like Jesus, we must listen, then respond. A deaf church is a barren church. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, Easter cannot be contained. There's really no words to fully describe it. Gorgeous colors, powerful music, the earth seems to just shout hallelujah with springtime beauty. But as people of faith, we know that there is a cost. The cost of it is way beyond our understanding. Why would anyone want to redeem us out of love when you consider how we've treated each other throughout history and even today? One human way is to live with guilt and shame. Now, I'm pretty sure that most everyone could claim a feeling like that. Of course, each of us does have some broken places in our lives. We cannot rewrite our histories, but we can effectively influence our futures. And I can tell you that brokenness has no favorites. But it is because of Easter that we can live into our futures with hope. Hope heals our wounded souls. Now, I don't mean you just wake up one day and have hope, although I suppose that's possible. But encouraging hope most often comes through fellowship and connection with the body of Christ. Other folks who are like you, who are on the journey. You see, when we share our stories with each other, we discover that God was with us, but we didn't even know it, because, you see, we were not expecting Him to be there. And hope teaches us that we have so much to contribute to life, even in our own brokenness. You see, your story is part of God's story because you're one of His kids. Please spend some time thinking about that. Your story is part of God's story. Help us with here at Methodist Hour, if you would, to help us to continue to tell His story. So many persons live in the grayness of brokenness and have no idea how to find hope. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. Or you can go to Facebook, Methodist Hour International, that's it. Or call me direct, 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. Or you can just text me. And I pray that God's grace, the grace of Easter, just surrounds your life. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.